Jump with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 9:6. I'm going to give you about one third of the message in order that we can hopefully get out before too much ice accumulates or whatever is going to accumulate outside. Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." That is, interestingly, referring to this coming, the second coming of Christ, him, you know, some have described as the official royal clothing, maybe, that Christ will wear. But it certainly is at least also describing the role that he will have as King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is described in the next verse, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." We looked this morning at the Mighty God. I want to look briefly this evening at the Everlasting Father. Notice the Son is called the Father. Not in relation to the Trinity, but in relation to the nation, Israel. The Everlasting Father. The Son is called the Father. The Everlasting Father, not in relation to the Trinity, but in relation to Israel. Let me read the rest. "The Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom." God will extend, as he had promised to David, his kingdom, and Christ will reign on his throne. And David will have a place of rule in that also. "And upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice." Won't you delight to see the justice reign in the world for 1,000 years and then forever. "From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." As it relates to Everlasting Father, if Mighty God referred to the power of the work that Christ will do at his second coming, what do you think, and calls for us to fear him, what do you think Everlasting Father would describe in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ? It would seem to refer to his, and we're going to see a couple of passages, he is the provider and protector. Father, isn't that what fathers are about? In one, you know, in two words, a large part is to provide for family and to protect family and protect, you know, in a number of ways. But certainly that takes place, yeah, in a pretty significant way by the Lord Jesus Christ for the nation of Israel, for the believing remnant of the nation of Israel. Everlasting, it's good for us to think about and maybe put it into our own words so that we can grasp a little bit more what is being talked about. The Everlasting Father, the Father who will function in ceaseless continuation. No term limits. No death. No competition. I told JP this morning. Some of you know JP is in public office and serving. You know, there's no votes. The Messiah doesn't need to be voted on. It's going to be the provider and protector for the remnant of the nation of Israel. Jeremiah, I'll give you two passages you can read on. Then we'll look at some very briefly. Jeremiah 23 tells that he will provide care and security for Israel. Verse 5 in that chapter, there will be global justice as a way of life. Verse 6, salvation and safety. It says there, Judah shall be saved. Judah shall be saved. Referring to Israel, or at least part of Israel. And interestingly there, verse 7, Jeremiah 23:7, makes a comparison between the crossing of the Red Sea, one of the big, big, big events in Israel's history that God was known for, was parting the sea. And Jeremiah 23:7 says, they will no longer be known as the people who were led through the sea. That means something bigger is going to happen. And it's this salvation, this provision and protection that will be provided for them in verse 8. Verse 7 and 8, Israel or Judah will be saved spiritually and politically. No more rebellion. No more rebellion against God. No more rockets, no more tunnels, no more oppression. Won't that be wonderful for Israel? They'll dwell in their own land. Think with me in Zechariah 12. We read some of that this morning. Also, the everlasting Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will provide that there is a recognition of sin unto repentance. They will look on him whom they pierce, the scripture says. Chapter 13, verse 1 talks about a fountain provided for them for sin. Verse 2 talks about a removal of idols in this Zechariah 13, 2. And then chapter 14, Zechariah 14, verse 8 talks about living water. When Christ comes, he will stand on the Mount of Olives and the mountain will split horizontally. If you were looking at it from east to west, the mountain will split and this new valley will be formed and a stream will flow. And it sounds like to both directions from the temple, perhaps. I'm a little bit shy on all the knowledge there, but this will flow and it'll get wider and wider. And it's going to provide healing for other waters. And I pondered, why would there need to be healing in the waters? And I'm going to throw out a suggestion. Revelation 16 talks about the seas being turned to blood, and then by another angel, the rivers being turned to blood, and the death in the fish and so forth. Well, this was telling Nate and Dan that fishing is going to be good in the millennial kingdom. You can read it yourself in Zechariah 14. It talks about the abundance of fish, actually in Ezekiel. It's in Ezekiel 47, verses 8 to 10. But they will be there fishing. So again, an abundance of wellness and health and prosperity. I did see a video recently that talks about grass in Israel. And the thought is that the little sprigs of grass are called green pasture. And I ponder that for a little because maybe that's how it was historically, but I wonder. And because of the judgment of God on Israel, I wonder if they indeed did have green in color pastures instead of rock-like surfaces with a little bit of grass here and there. So I'm going to still hold my thoughts on that at this point. But there will be an abundance of wellness that will affect every aspect of life and government and people. Let me take you to this thought. I'm quoting again from Floyd Brockman's Systematic Theology. As it relates to God's preservation of the elect remnant of Israel, I want you to see this. Today, Jews who get saved become part of what? The church. Okay? In the tribulation, there will be a believing remnant who is kept by Christ, who will then go into the millennial kingdom, and he makes the statement, a remnant, the Jewish remnant, will be divinely preserved from Satan's wrath and will be alive when the Lord Jesus returns to earth. They will survive. They will survive the tribulation. How did Jesus provide protection for them? Won't take the time now, but if you look in Luke 21, 20 to 24, Christ gave two signs that these people will be able to refer back to for when they should run. The Antichrist will desecrate the temple and he will attack Israel. And when that takes place, you may recall, Jesus said, run. Don't go to pick up your clothes. Don't go to pick up this. Just run. Run. He gives them two signs to know when to run, and then he instructs them to run. That is a future passage, a future instruction for people during that time to follow and to know and to find safety, because they will find safety. Go with me to Revelation 12, and we'll look at this briefly. The devil, in his hatred of God and his people, will create a one-world order and the beast and the false prophet to shore him up and cause people to believe him and so forth. He will attempt to kill off more and more of God's people, but the Lord Jesus Christ will protect. And so I see this as an instance of him being father to Israel, to this believing remnant. Verse 13, so Revelation 12 and verse 13. Notice with me, and we'll close here. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. It's interesting to read earlier in the chapter. The woman seems to refer to Israel, the woman who brought forth the man-child Christ, the woman Israel. Saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, which she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So this believing remnant will flee and will be delivered and will be helped in some way, the wings of a great eagle, will be helped to a secure, safe place. Petra is a place I think is maybe talked about. It's interesting to think about. Don't know where it's going to be. What is a time and times and half a time? 3.5 years. It's interesting, across the page in my Bible, maybe exactly the same in yours, it's given in days, 1,203 score days, works out to 3.45 years, so. This is a 3.5 year period of time. They're going to be so at the middle. They're going to follow their Lord's instructions, their everlasting Father's instructions, and flee at the middle of the tribulation. Notice 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth, the devil, his water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. We have to think about the Creator again, don't we? God, the Creator, organizing and reorganizing the structure of the earth in that place to help and protect. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's a nice description of a believing part of the nation of Israel, isn't it? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. May it be that we trust our Lord to continue to provide for us. Going into the new year, I'm excited, looking forward to working with our men and seeing how God will lead. It's a delight for me to serve in this temporary capacity. I'm so thankful. Even to the little conversations that happen sometimes, numerous times on a Sunday, a little administrative thing. What do I do here? What do we do here? How are we going to get this done? Having this role has been a privilege, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity. But I look forward as well to handing the baton to our new pastor who comes. May God find us keeping the commandments of God and having the testimony of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand for prayer together? Lord, we're learning more about your great power, and your might, and your sensitive care that exceeds and goes beyond all we could ask or think. So we thank you for your amazing care and love for your people. Pray that you would watch over the folks tonight as we go our separate ways. We pray that this time of sharing and enjoying conversation with Caleb and Grace would be meaningful. We appreciate them and their relationship with you and then with each other. Lord, bless your people in a marvelous and meaningful way. We thank you in Jesus' precious and most wonderful name.